The following announcement has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
I see. This is Perched on the Top Rope. And I'm the biggie man. And I'm coming to get ya!
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer from Ringside News and Sports Kita. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Lee Walker, and tonight I am joined by world-class, big-time wrestling promoter, Dylan Hines. Dylan, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for coming on. My question is, what is it like to be part of and run the biggest independent promotion here in the United States?
It's wild. My grandfather, and not just the biggest, I would say one, the longest running independent promotion in the United States, or in longest running by a single person in the United States, because to be quite honest, my father and I are business partners, and my father's been running it since 1977, which now by this point, I'll ask you this. I'm not specifically sure. When did Vince Jr. buy the promotion from Vince Sr.?
Oh, God. Maybe.
I'm going to look that up.
I want to feel like it might have been the late 70s, early 80s.
Vince Sr. That would have been 1982. So, yes, my father is the longest running promoter in the United States for professional wrestling to own a single company. Because by 2027, which we're planning on running events up until 2027, and past that, of course. By now, he has been running events for 47 years.
Wow.
Name someone else running a promotion that's ran a single promotion for 47 years.
Can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's an impressive feat itself. Everybody talks about his legendary career. But as a promoter, he's been behind James Hines Promotions, which is the parent company, which was named after my grandfather, James Hines Promotions. My grandfather was promoting events alongside my father in 1977. They were started with professional wrestling, and they continued on till about 2004. My grandpa Hines sadly passed away. So my dad ended up taking over the role of being the single promoter from 2004 until 2016, I would say. And then ever since then, it's been co-owned by my father and I. So, you know, and we've also, my father anyway, has done other ventures. He's done Tough Man Contest, which was off the street boxing, amateur boxing.
Wow.
And he also did a thing called Mayhem in the Cage, which was UFC type fighting, which was throughout North Carolina and I believe South Carolina as well. So people who say, oh, they don't know how to promote, right? Or they're just fans promote. Nah. First off, my father's been a professional wrestler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And second off, this is not our first ventures, you know?
Yeah, I've been
we've been running our events, the family has, since the 70s. So,
man, that's incredible.
You know.
That's incredible. Now, Being part of this, you run across all sorts of, professional wrestlers from all over, but you also have to deal with, that comes with different attitudes, and maybe some have promoters, managers, that you have to deal with, and things like that. So how do you work, like, when it comes to like an individual talent, when you book somebody? And I'm going to use Matt Riddle as the example because he's going to be a big part of the topic today. What is the process like? Because I don't think, a lot of fans know, like I said, just how stressful it can be to be, in your shoes as a promoter, dealing with so many different talents.
With Matt, we would simply contact him directly and give him the date, what we'd be wanting him to do for that day. We'd agree on a money price. And that was that. He didn't want deposits, and which I have screenshots of that for those who said, well, how come they were just doing a deposit that day, right? Since the first booking with Matt, he was the guy who did not want a deposit nor a contract. He would not sign a contract. So, with that, there's other talents, though, that either A, want contracts, or B, want a deposit. Those talents, completely different animal, you know. Usually, if they will take a deposit, they will take a contract as well. They'll sign a contract as well, just so they have full understanding of what that deposit is, and we have full understanding of what that deposit is. And there's no questions of, hey, I never received a deposit, or questions of, the deposit was X amount, and I'm still, being owed, whatever. There's no questions of that when there's that contract signed.
Okay.
On Matt, 90% of the time we book the talent's travel. Only two talents that I've not booked travel for, except for a handful of times for him, was RVD, Rob Van Dam. And the other talent that I've never booked travel for was Matt Riddle. The reason RVD booked his own travel, he had certain ways he liked his stuff. He wanted to put his numbers in, his loyalty or whatever numbers in to the system when he was purchasing his flight. And the other Matt Riddle, when he was fresh off WWE TV, started working with us earlier this year. He also had specific ways that he wanted stuff done, and the other thing was he would possibly there's a possibility he may be in three towns in a single weekend where he could be in, Charlotte, North Carolina, be booked for us in Chillicothe, Ohio, and be booked somewhere else, let's say New York City, right? He would go and take he'd buy the flights himself. And he'd be reimbursed by each of the promoters for those flights. Because it'd be easier for him to be able to book all his flights where he had it all together with the airlines he wanted, the class of fare he wanted, all of that. Plus, it's easier to divide it up between the three people with the three promoters by just getting reimbursed for it instead of having promoter A buy something, promoter B buy something, and promoter C buy something.
Totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Totally understandable. Now, the date in question is December 14th. Big Time Wrestling has a show in Waverly, Ohio. Matt Riddle is on the card, supposed to be part of the meet and greet wrestling that night also. And that morning, Dylan, you get a text message, right? You mind if I
I get a
read the
text
text?
message. Right. I get a text message at 6:30 a.m. I woke up at 7:20 that morning. I'm not really an early morning person, but days of the events, I would wake up around 7, for anywhere from 7 o'clock to 7:30 a.m. for an event. So I received that message when I woke up at 7:20 a.m.
Yeah,
You go on and say what the.
The message says, "Hi, Dylan. This is Michelle Gray. I'm the manager for Matt Riddle. In this communication, I'll be representing him in his best interest. We haven't received a deposit from you, and he is headed to the airport to join you for you event, but I'm insisting we get a deposit beforehand. If you can send at least 25% of what the agreed upon salary, that would be great. Otherwise, he won't be able to come. Thanks." That message was sent at 6:30 in the morning.
Right. So I asked two people that are high up in the wrestling world that I work with on booking talents. Steve Kay. He had not heard of that name before. He works regularly with talents, but he should have heard that name if that person was a verifiable agent, right? So there's my number's public. If someone doesn't have my number, I can get it from anybody. I'll say this on the regular, I would say, I receive messages from random people like internet trolls and stuff saying anything, right? So at that point, I didn't know who Michelle Gray was. I also spoke to Michael Pacheco with High Spots, who runs WrestleCon, which I've talked about earlier this year, that event. The who's who of the wrestling world appear at WrestleCon. So on that note, if he hadn't heard of Michelle Gray, then I guess nobody would have, unless, you know, this person's brand new in the wrestling industry.
Yeah. And you had just said that, you know, you generally wake up around 7:20, especially the day of a show. An hour later, you get a text message again saying, "Hi, Dylan, I'm confused why you won't text over the phone. To be aware, I will be recording phone calls if I do answer. You can either send a deposit or Matt will unfortunately not be attending. You're a businessman. You understand. Thanks."
Provided that was, I called multiple times to this Michelle Gray to see who it was, as I did not know who this individual was. Also, I called Matt twice. No answer from Matt. So, still, I was trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to ask you, Lee, you know. You could get texts from anybody, right? As could I.
Yep.
We're not sending out, and I'd say we both have a good enough brain of intelligence. Neither of us are going to send $2,000 off to somebody randomly.
No.
Is that something you would do?
No, because usually if I don't, if someone calls me and they're not in my phone, I let it go to voicemail and then listen to the voicemail. If you don't leave a voicemail, I'm not calling back. Sorry. If you're not my phone. And as far as a text message, if I had a text message like that, yeah, I would want some sort of proof of who I'm dealing with. And you did that. You actually texted Matt sending a photo of those text messages. And you had said, "I just received this message. Is this legit? I don't know this person. Would you mind calling Dad or I? If you need a deposit, we'll happily send it. You know, send it if this can be verified." To which he says, "It's legit. I asked my manager to handle my bookings from now on." You replied back, "How would you like us to send this money?" He reads the message.
I want to put in some notes on this.
Okay.
While we're talking about this, these texts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that I'm going to pull up Matt Riddle's text How would you like us to send this, right? That was at 7:56, right?
Yep.
Also, man, I also messaged his supposed manager, Michelle Gray, which was Misha Montana, after getting verification. How would he like us to send the payment? That was at 8:01 a.m. She went on with, Mr. Riddle will verify with you. Wonderful. You have his telephone number. I never received I never received his way of receiving that payment until 8:06 a.m. And which is that's an important note, because they said we were delaying the payment. No, we were not. We were trying to get the payment sent to them after we received verification of this being legit, you know. So as we both said earlier, who in the right mind is going to send $2,000 to some random person?
You're not.
Yeah.
So you even screenshot to him sending him the 2000. You confirm that through Matt that she is his manager.
Mm-hmm.
You show Matt Riddle's agent Michelle Gray the payment. She shows you his info for Cash App and Venmo to be able to, you know, and Zelle. States that he will not take PayPal anymore.
Which that's a question in itself. If you're doing anything, sales or money online, why are you not taking PayPal?
Yeah, everybody uses PayPal.
Right.
I mean,
it's the easiest way to send money.
Yeah, it's. For me, it's one of my preferred. Cash App is my least favorite, to be honest. But you show everything. Payment is secure. It's sent. And this is where it gets like a little hectic. You ask for the payment to be verified that it was received, along with the time that he set to land in Columbus and arrive to the venue. Thank you. And Michelle responds, well,
hold
we won't
on.
Be.
I asked that. Hold on. I asked that at 8:11 a.m., right?
Yep.
Guess when I heard back from her.
I don't know, because it doesn't have the timestamp for the
8:21 a.m., 10 minutes later. It's the day of the event. If you're an agent, see, if it's the day of an event and I have an issue, right, with a talent that I booked through Steve K, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I call Steve K, he's right on the line.
Yeah.
Not, hey, I'll call you later, or not. There's no delays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we were handling the business then and there. And Steve K's with Paragon Talent Agency, if anybody's wondering, which he represents pretty much everybody that is a recent WWE release. So her reply was, well, he won't be arriving without a deposit, and I'll let you continue on with that, and then I'll make my next remark.
Yep, and his flight was scheduled at 8:15 with a 10:35 arrival. He will not be on the flight because of the payment delay. Payment was received via Venmo. The next available flight put him in at 3:45. If the event is missed, then he'll refund the payment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
first question, as we're both looking at these texts, why is her, if she's professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the spelling and all that off? It's typical, you know, scammer jargon, you know, to have misspellings and all that stuff. So, not saying she's a scammer, but, you know, I'm sure everybody else would be wondering as well. So, I was in the middle of getting ready for the day, right? I'll say this. I have an excuse to have a little bit of a delay in a text message back because at the time I was speaking to two other individuals about this situation. Actually, three other individuals about the situation, as well as my business partner, my father. And we were really all trying to figure this out. So I responded 10 minutes after the fact because I wanted to get a consensus, you know. I said the meet and greet was from 12:05 p.m. If he lands at 3:45, he'll miss the meet and greet. The show starts at 7 p.m. The deal was for him to do the five-hour meet and greet and super show. I guess we'll have to work something out whenever he arrives, right?
Yeah.
And that was at 8:31. The next message I received was at 8:55 a.m. What did the text message say, Lee?
She writes back, we'll work something out before. If it's not agreeable, he won't be coming.
If I was an agent, right? And there was an issue like that, I would have already had a number, like a monetary number, I would have thrown out and said, hey, he's not going to be able to do that. Okay, so we're going to, instead of you paying him X, we're going to have you pay him this.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, now I'll leave it at, if we'll work out something before, if it's not agreeable, he won't be coming.
So you text.
So
you
I responded
text.
At, I responded at 9:06 a.m.
Yep.
Okay,
saying,
what do you suggest?
And she replied that his rate is $5,000 a match. If there is a meet and greet, he will receive all of it. Expenses for flight, hotel, and car.
So I have previously booked him for other people to do it, to just do matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did a match at during WrestleMania weekend for WrestleCon and received $3,500 less than that value. He received $1,500. He did a match for Squirt Circle Expo, and I believe the number was 3,000 or 3,500. It was around that value for that match. So with that previous knowledge, $5,000 was still way more than he should have been receiving.
Yeah, if you don't ask, if you don't,
I'll say this, especially because he and I spoke earlier that week, right? And I gave him two options. I said we could pay you $3,500 for the match, and we could split the meet and greet, or I could pay you $8,000 and we'll keep the meet and greet. By then, her coming with $5,000 and he keeps the meet and greet, that's not fair. You know, that's not fair.
Yeah, so if you don't mind me asking, the original deal was he went with the 8,000. Is that my understanding? The original deal that you had with him. Okay, and now she's
and here's a bit of information that some people are missing out on. I'm gonna pull his thing up quick again. He had messaged me earlier that week, right? I'm just gonna read these texts. December 11th. Hey, dude, I've been hearing a lot of bad things lately, and I have a couple questions. This is the show happening this weekend. What were you planning on paying me for a match and meet and greet this weekend? You haven't sent any flights or hotels, so am I booking it myself and being reimbursed, or are you booking it? After hearing some of the things I've heard, I'd like a deposit for the weekend or some kind of agreement that I'll be paid. Answer those questions, and if everything checks out, I'll send the promo and I'll be there. He said, please answer the questions through text. I don't want any miscommunications. I said, yes, we've spent over $10,000 on promotion. The event is happening Saturday. That was the first question he asked. That was my answer. Second question was $8,000 if we keep all deal for March, or $3,500 plus split of meet and greet if you are wanting to do the split we've been doing. Honestly, the split works better in your favor. Number three, every time I've booked you, I've never gotten the travel. You always have and were reimbursed as you wanted specific things or needed flights from different areas and such. Number four, you will 100% be paid. I'd rather be judged by how you have experienced working for my father and I rather than internet lies and bullshit. And then his answer was, I'll be there. $8,000 for match and meet and greet. Reimburse me for travel. I'll send a promo tonight. Thank you. And I replied with, please be there by 11 a.m. And I gave him the address of the venue, which was 500 East 2nd Street, Waverly, Ohio. Guess when I received the promo?
When?
Friday, December 13th, 1:22 p.m.
Day before the event.
Yeah.
Now,
not very professional, you know.
Yeah. You know, I was gonna.
I'll say this: in New York City, we're all tended to believe. Where are you from, Lee?
I'm in upstate New York, actually.
Okay, so you can get understand. I'm down in the New York City area.
Okay.
So both of us living in New York, we both could go under the same assumption that if someone's being advertised for an event, they're likely going to be there, right?
Yeah.
However, in Ohio, where they don't get large events and they don't get large talents, typically other than when we run our events, you know. They need to hear from these talents that they're actually going to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, a promo is very important. Here's the other thing. Have you heard of the name of Eric Sims?
Yeah, ESS.
Yep. Spoke to him. He's been in this business for nearly 40 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, Eric, is a promo a form of contract in our industry? And he and I both agreed that it is a form of a contract in our industry. Reason being, Lee, what is included in a promo?
It's literally a promo. They're telling you who they are, where they're going to be, the day they're going to be there, what they're doing there. Did I hit anything yet?
Yeah, so on and so forth. Is that not what a contract would state?
Yep.
So I have a video of him saying, I'm going to be in Waverly, Ohio, Saturday, December 14th. What time he's going to be doing the signing, what time, or what he's going to be doing that night for the match, all that stuff. He pretty much breached the contract. By not appearing, by not getting on that flight. Because Wednesday, we both had agreed everything was fine. And he said he was doing the promo, and we agreed on everything completely, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to go over everything. We both agreed on what was going on, what was happening. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he knew what was going on. Then Michelle Gray stuck her head into the situation. And honestly, I did a podcast earlier today with Five Kill Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of Kentucky. And they asked about this event and everything. And, you know, where's Matt Riddle at in all this? Why has Matt Riddle not made a public comment, a public addressing? Where is he? You know, that's the question they have. That's the question I have. And I'm sure, Lee, you have that same question.
I was going to ask, yeah. Yeah.
Because he disappeared. Other than retweeting a couple things on his Twitter, he has been completely silent.
Yeah, he's
And
been silent
honestly,
about all of it.
I don't think all the blame falls on Matt Riddle. I think part of the blame has to go to Matt Riddle, but Michelle Gray, if that's her real name, Misha Montana, we all know who what her actress name is. You know, it doesn't look good for her because he was going to do what that contract was saying he was going to do, that video promo. He was going to get on that flight. He was going to go and make the appearance that he was supposed to make. And he didn't. He prevented it.
Yeah, and as the text goes on, she writes, "Well, considering it was, after the 5,000 rate for a match, you had wrote, I'll give him 3,000, and he can keep the meet and greet." At this point, though, we're past the point of him getting on the flight for the 8:15 flight, and the next flight wouldn't have him in until much later, almost towards the end of the meet and greet, if it would not be already over.
Well, hold on. What got him in at Columbus at 3:45? Lee, have you ever been on a plane before?
Bunch of times.
That is the landing time, 3:40. That's not the time he gets to the gate,
Yeah.
right? Second off, usually it takes you 45 minutes to go and get your luggage if you checked luggage, right?
Yep.
Next step, he was getting a rental car according to her text, right?
Yep.
With that's another 30 to 45 minutes. So we're going to say that's 2 hours, right? So it's
Yeah.
5:45 p.m. by that point, right? At that point, he has to drive from Columbus to Waverly, Ohio, which takes anywhere from 1 hour and 15 minutes to 1 hour and a half. So we're at 5:45. Let's say 1 hour and a half. He would have got there around 6. He would have got there around 7:30, right? Seven
Yeah.
fifteen, 7:30.
Yeah, after the show starts.
And way after that, meet and greet he was supposed to have handled.
Yeah. So at that point, you basically offer 3,000 just to have the match, considering he's not going to make the meet and greet, but say, well, he can keep the meet and greet. And she replies back, well, it was supposed to be an 8,000, he was promised 8,000 for the day. That won't work, but please reach out for in the future with any bookings. Thank you. At that point, you request your 2,000 back from Venmo. You give her Venmo, and she does refund it.
Yes,
But
that's one thing that some of the people have gotten wrong. The money was refunded. My issue, though, is they made our promotion look bad because we weren't able to give what was promised, which she talks about later on in a text that took place starting on Thursday. And the other thing was, I felt screwed. I felt my father was screwed as my business partner. And I felt all the people who attended that event were screwed by Matt Riddle and Misha Montana, if that's his agent. Which, honestly, at this point, she said only three people were ever going to see our issue with Matt. I hate to break it to her, but I'm going to pull up the recent number on this because it's gotten quite a bit of attraction on it. Hold on 1 second. You can keep talking if you want.
Okay. Well, I was gonna, text or say that we would find out that Michelle Gray is Misha Montana through texting on the next day or so when she says, "Good morning, Dylan. I hear that you are going to discuss publicly Mr. Riddle's appearance last weekend. If you could do me a favor and forward your email address," which you did, and You wrote back, you held us up for money. After I get done showing what transpired between you two, Matt will never receive a booking again. I have every right in the world to sue you and Matt for damages. In this situation,
Okay.
okay.
So I looked at our insights on this post real quick. We said we were only going to get 3 views on our on the, what transpired in my storytelling of this. Misha, Matt, if you are listening, which perched on the top rope, that's the name of y'all's thing, right?
Yep.
Y'all get lots of views. A lot of people listen to y'all. We've received 135,412 views. That amount of people have seen what transpired between Matt Riddle and our company. What people are saying, because Meta AI does this thing, what people are saying, as someone who runs a page, I'm sure you've seen this before.
Oh, yeah.
Commenters are largely supportive of the promoter, expressing disappointment and frustration with Matt Riddle's unprofessional behavior and excessive pricing. Many share similar experiences with Riddle, citing no-shows and unmet agreements. The promoter's transparency is praised, and fans appreciate the event despite Riddle's absence. So, with that said, if you're a promoter, I'll ask you this, Lee. With you seeing this, if you were promoting an event, right? Or thinking about bending someone to an event,
I've
what
done
is
it.
the likelihood at, okay, what is the likelihood at today, that Matt Riddle would be on that list of people you would bring in?
So I've done vending. I've brought the
Mm-hmm.
inspiration to the big event. I brought Karrion Kross and Scarlett to Baltimore Fan Fest 2, I think it was. I've had Ultimo Dragon and Sonny Ono. So I've been there with all of this, and there's a lot that goes on in this world, and you're dealing with a lot of different personalities. I had the chance at honestly Kurt Angle, but just for a meet and greet at $8,000 is how do you make money on that? Honestly, in my area, it's rather hard. That's a lot of people you got to get through the door just to make that back up. I don't know what Matt Riddle's meet and greet price is.
Well, how I would see it is this: he's getting paid by the hour, right? I offered him 3,000 for the match, right?
Yeah.
It's a 5-hour signing. I felt $1,000 per hour would be fair.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this: besides the monetary amount, right? As someone who's brought in talent, would you want to deal with this headache personally? Would you say, you know what? I've seen this gigantic red flag. Would you want to consider working with him and bringing him in and possibly running the risk of dealing with this the day of the event?
I'm not gonna lie, the reason why I got out of the vending was because of drama. I'm like a very solitude kind of guy. Don't interrupt my zen. I want peace. So I would need a lot of stuff in writing, just like I had done with other guests that I had in the past. But I would need some, so like the only way I would do things now, and it wouldn't even just be Matt Riddle. If I got back into vending, I would want some sort of guarantee that if they no-showed me, they have to pay me XYZ back of not only what I lose from the flight, what I lose from them, the deposit that I had already sent them. But yeah, I'm going to tack on fees of money that I had potentially lost. That would be the only way I could do stuff like that now, just to protect myself. That if I pay you XYZ and you no show, and now I'm out the money from the flight and this. I want some sort of legal binding contract that says you have to pay me back that plus what I would have made from that weekend. Even if it was like a split,
Right.
I want the 50% of what I would have lost and then calculated it. And yeah, that's the only way I think I
Which
could do it.
I'll say this, which what you just said, what you would have lost.
Yeah.
I feel that we are out. There's people that attended the event, right, who bought a ticket to see Matt Riddle in the main event, right?
Yeah.
They didn't get that.
I mean,
So
I mean,
I would like those damages taken care of. That way, in lieu of him screwing over those people, because that's what he did, we can go and for our next event or a future event, bring something bigger in, you know. That makes those people feel great, you know. I posted those who bought a meet and greet get to meet Mick Foley, right?
yeah.
But those who bought a meet and greet also got screwed completely by him because they were planning on meeting Matt Riddle. They weren't planning on meeting Mick Foley, although Mick.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hopefully, these gigantic upgraded replacement. A huge legend in the wrestling world, a huge icon. And Matt Riddle hate to break it to him. He thinks he's a legend or icon, but is he, Lee? Is he? Is he a legend or icon? I wouldn't. He's not done anything legendary or, and there's nothing iconic about his name. You know? Nothing against him, it's just being truthful. He's not earned his. If they're looking for WWE Hall of Famers, I don't think that they would go and put him in the Hall of Fame because he was United States champion and he was tag team champion, but has he done anything outside of that? No. Other than independent events. And WWE doesn't put people in the Hall of Fame because of indie wrestling. So, with that in mind, they still got screwed. And I completely feel horrible about that. You know,
Yeah, I feel
where
it. Yeah, go ahead,
those
continue. I'm sorry.
damages should be paid for as well by Matt Riddle. And whatever we would have brought in that day, I think that he would have probably had $5,000, $6,000 come in for his meet and greet that day because the event was had a low attendance due to the Christmas season and everything, which I'll never run in December again. I've learned my lesson on that. People weren't spending money like they typically do at our event, so I'd say between $5,000 and $6,000 he would have brought in, you know.
Yeah, and if you're a figure collector, you know, like I am, is I would have had figures there and everything like that. Which,
You may
you
have
know.
had some people brought belts, some people, there was somebody that posted that they bought a t-shirt, which I really hated that one of our fans was completely disrespected by Misha Montana. They had said they spent like $180 on meeting Matt at different events throughout the past year, right? Because their kids were huge wrestling fans. And her response was, "Well, you should have saved your $180, whatever it was, right?" Well, here's the thing for Misha Montana. Thursday, the news between of what happened, transpired between Matt and I wasn't the only news break. Did you see the other news break in regards to Matt Riddle that came out on Thursday?
I honestly did not.
his wife or former wife or whatever, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, is going after him for like $20,000 for I'm gonna look up the article real quick while we're on here. It's like $20,000 though in unpaid child support.
Oh.
And alimony.
Oh.
Which it's wow. My thing with Matt Riddle's got all kinds of reaction. right here, trying to figure out where this was. Matt Riddle, alimony.
So what was your reaction
This is from Newsbreak. Matt Riddle's ex-wife is taking legal action against the former WWE star. Matt Riddle earned a lot of money in WWE. It goes on. So it says that now, after an indie promoter alleged on Facebook that the former MMA fighter tried to get more money out of him in order to fulfill a booking, it's been reported that Riddle is currently behind on his financial commitment to his ex-wife. Which in the court documents, it says the respondent has not made any payment towards child support, alimony, or expenses since September 30th, 2024, which covered only alimony, child support, and documented expenses through September 1st, 2024. The respondent is currently in arrears in the amount $28,789.73, including $14,280.94. That is more than 45 days past due. So,
wow. Yeah, I did not know that.
You think he'd be you think he'd be making his appearances so he could pay that bill, right?
Yeah.
My appearance was for $8,000. He would have been, if he would have gave all that $8,000, he'd be $20,000. He would owe $20,000 remaining to her, which he has other bookings that are taking place. He was in New York yesterday, I saw, for House of Glory Wrestling. And, you know, he should be doing that. Also, his baby mama, girlfriend, wife, whatever she is, Misha Montana, shouldn't be saying, well, you should have saved your money on meeting him to that fan, because that fan also said that they ended up getting rid of their shirts or whatever, Matt Riddle, I believe I saw. Telling people not to pay for Matt Riddle meet and greets? What is she trying to do? Is she trying to destroy anything that he has to do with? I don't know. Maybe there's an issue between Matt and Misha. But meet and greets help pay a lot of bills for a guy that's recently released from WWE. I would think that at most conventions, Matt Riddle is there, right? Or at independent events, he's doing meet and greets. Apparently now, he's against the idea.
Yeah. Oof.
Which Misha went on to say, which I thought was interesting. She made the remark on there. As I read what she said, or is it the PG podcast, or are we able to say whatever the hell we want to say?
You can say whatever you want. I'm good.
Okay. She stated that wrestling fans and people around wrestling in the wrestling world have shrimp dicks, which I'm going to take a guess that that means small dicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, the only wrestler she's ever been with is Matt Riddle, right?
Yeah.
So are we to presume that's a remark on his manlihood?
Oof. I gotta ask. In the text messages, your dad Bobby had posted on X. She makes it known.
I want to say something. He did not post it. I posted it.
Okay.
Under his account.
Okay.
I have access to his Facebook. I have access to his Twitter. I do not have access. As much as Greg Price, who runs the NBA Legends, wants to lie and say that I'm under the Jimmy Hines page, I am not under the Jimmy Hines page. There's things that have been posted on Jimmy Hines page that my dad and I've talked about that I disagreed with him on. I like to sit back politically, you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't give a shit. Where on the other hand, he wants to talk about politics and all that stuff, right? The Jimmy Hines page is completely his. He makes his remarks. He does his own thing on there. The Bobby Fulton page I run, most of the time the Bobby Fulton page is either used for business or if somebody passes away or something, usually we might make a comment on there, you know.
Yeah.
A prayer for the family or whatever, you know, or their fans and whatever. It's also used for marketing and for bookings. If people want to book Bobby Fulton, they can contact that page.
Yeah.
So, Twitter and Instagrams are also ran by me. Anything that's got Bobby Fulton name on there is ran by me. The Jimmy Hines page is completely his. So I was the one who posted the Twitter thing.
Okay. So on there.
Well, and the reason why I did that, just to explain, the reason I did it under Bobby Fulton, at the point I felt that Dave Meltzer and every single other wrestling person should be putting an article out about what took place and what transpired, because at first I was only going to do a live video, right?
Yeah.
And whatever happened, happened. But how her exchanges were with me on that day, where she said I'm going to pull up what she said exactly so we can that on here. She said, oh my God, I can't, I gave her that email. I said, you totally held us up. You already read that. And she put laughing emojis and said, oh my God, I can't wait. Please do. Sue me. Everyone knows you're a scoundrel. You couldn't deliver. No one is scared, love. She called me love, which she doesn't know me. She has no right to call me love. And she was also calling me babe and some texts and stuff. You don't know me. You have no right to call me that name.
Yeah.
Which in 2024... that could be called sexual harassment, right? So right there, I could put sexual harassment charges on her for that. I'm not going to, but I could. I have every right. But she said, everyone knows you're a scoundrel and you couldn't deliver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lee, did I not have every intention to deliver what we promised?
Yeah, you went through the motions, and you already had
even at that last minute requesting a deposit. I sent that deposit, did I not?
Yeah, you had everything set in stone well beforehand.
Mm-hmm. And then she says, "I know your daddy didn't teach you to talk to women this way, so maybe you need a timeout." First of all, in those text messages, I never said anything against a woman, did I?
No, there's nothing bad that I see.
And she says, maybe I need a timeout. She said, go cool off, do whatever. I'll have my attorney respond if you feel so inclined. Have a beautiful day. And I replied back, not a joke. Don't play with me. I could deliver what was promised you, lying witch, which is witch, not the B word. I said witch with a W.
Looking right at it.
I have the screenshots where your client received $2,000 to get on the flight, but didn't. I'll destroy your ass to the public. If I need to bring Candy Cartwright up, I'll be happy to against the sexual predator. Every time I said something, I was spouting facts. If you've committed a sex crime or are alleged to have committed a sex crime, right? Are you not a sexual predator?
Yes.
By definition, is that not a sexual predator? So if they want to go after me on that, please go after me. But what I said was, you can look on the internet and it talks about him being a sexual predator. She also said, also, I don't think you are familiar with my stage name. It's Misha Montana. She finally revealed who she was. And my response was, you have more balls than that. Maybe you have a new type of porn you could go into. And she said, oh, babe, that's wild. I say you had balls, but clearly you don't think Matt would jump for someone like you. Keep going, though. I'm enjoying it, right? And I sent the promo that Matt did. I said, I was just telling your client that he shouldn't do promos for events he doesn't plan to attend. I was like, we said earlier, Lee, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, that promo or any promo in professional wrestling or anything is equivalent to a contract. You're stating who you are, where you're going to be at, when you're going to be there, who you're working for, what you're doing, right?
It's basically like a verbal agreement is the best way that I could put it, you know, because I was always
recorded.
Yeah. You know, you have a recorded verbal agreement. I was always, you know, the old school, your word and your handshake are all that you have. And once you don't have those, what do you have?
So I'll say this, if you're a wrestling fan out there and you're listening to this, you've seen what transpired, I would seriously wonder, even if Matt Riddle does a promo for another promotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say this, but promoters out there should not be booking him now, because even if he does a promo for them, it doesn't necessarily mean that he will show up. Does it? Because he's proven now that he can do a promo, but still doesn't mean he's going to show up to the event.
You have the proof.
Yeah. I received a promo. 90% of the time, unless a talent has ill health that prevents him from attending the event, which he didn't because he wasn't going to attend the event, as she stated that morning. And unless the talent has a flight that gets completely canceled, not on their behalf, not them canceling the flight, but a storm taking place or the airplane having an issue or something, a talent will be there if they do a promo.
Yeah.
90% of the time you can accept that that talent will be in attendance. So she said, tell me you don't pay people without telling me. You screw everyone. It's cool. Slander away. Your three followers care. You don't need to text me. I don't know what the rage is. Five days later, she was supposed to say five, but she said fine. There's nothing you have. You can cry on a podcast with 5 views. Well, I'm on your podcast, Lee. How many views you typically get for your podcast?
The typical views, well, I am ranked in over 20 countries on Chartable, and I am heard in over 100 the last time I checked my rankings. I have a lot of listeners. Mm-hmm.
So what would you estimate number-wise?
I'm probably sitting at, again, anywhere, depending if I do an interview. If there's no interview, it's thousands. If there's interviews, it's more than that.
So her saying, you can cry on a podcast with 5 views. Well, Misha, I've done a podcast earlier today. They've already got almost 1,000 views on it. Probably going to get a lot more because it was released 2 hours ago. We know how the time goes. The more that time goes, the more views it gets. I've shared it in groups and everything. And I'm on this podcast now, and I'm sure there'll be other people wanting me to talk on their podcast with them, which I have no issue with.
Dylan, I will say this.
Yes.
I did reach out to Misha Montana. I did send an email to the email that they have. I even sent over, I'll tell you this, I sent over my Chartable rankings, which I can say top 10 in the United States, top 200 in sports in the United States. I've hit number one in other countries. I even sent Facebook views, which on any given day on Facebook, I can have anywhere between 100,000 views to one of the photos that I sent her on the specific day of November 18th, 1,200,000. The screen's a little farther away from me. Hold on. It is 1,268,573 views on that day alone. Mm-hmm. So I did reach out, but I have not heard back. I don't know if I will hear back, but to hear their side of the story, which again, if I hear back, great. If not, it is what it is. I reached out. But you have everything well documented. You've gone above and beyond to prove yourself in this situation. And there was another situation.
By the way, an update on this, sorry to interrupt, but an update on this podcast I did earlier. It's gotten over 1,300 views. So, I just became their highest view count podcast they've done on their Facebook page. They posted on their Facebook page. So, Misha, how'd them 5 views go for you? Apparently, the person who's getting low view counts is her, because if you look at that Twitter page of hers, which I'm going to take a look real quick, she gets views, like there was some that were getting like 120 views or whatever, you know. It was very, very low view count. There's some of them she got 1,000 views on, good for her, you know. But most of the time she was getting under 1,000, I would say. But for someone who is supposed to be some kind of celebrity of some form of fashion, that's not a good sign, because you know, she's got 40,000 followers, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's not even getting 10% of her view count, or of her followers to view her tweets. So there's that.
Yeah, I did reach out for comment, but you've done nothing but show your proof, and she's not shown any proof other than, if you even look at her Twitter, she goes after Ringside News for talking about it, to the point, you know, that she even directly calls out the owner of Ringside News directly in one of the tweets.
Mm-hmm. So she's but doing I haven't everything heard that she possibly can do to destroy Matt Riddle. Because everything that they posted, Ringside News posted the story, right?
Yeah.
They messaged me earlier today and stated, upset because we didn't write the article the way she wanted. We based it on the facts. Matt skipped an event after some odd, quote-unquote, talk to my rep manager behavior. She wanted us to say you threatened her, but that's not the story we told. Because in those texts, Lee, did you see any form or fashion of a threat?
No, the only thing you had, because she said you had threatened her, but the only thing I saw that might could be taken as a threat is the fact that you said that you're going to seek legal action, and I don't see that as a threat, to be honest
but
with you.
She was saying that I need to be in prison for a threat that I communicated to her. What threat did I communicate to her that would cause someone to go to prison, which she was saying I committed a crime? So please enlighten us, Misha. If you're listening, please enlighten us, because I never, outside of my interactions with you in the past week, outside of a simple hello that may have happened when I was working with Matt, I don't think you and I have ever had any other form of communication. And to be quite honest with you, I'm going to state this on here. I have watched adult content like almost every other man in America, right? Lee, have you watched adult content?
I literally just had Nadia White on my show last week, who's an adult film entertainer. And she's also an independent pro wrestler. And I didn't know what she did, and I actually looked her up, and that's how I found out that she was an adult film star. So, yes, I have. Yeah. You know, everybody has, I feel like.
Right. So, you know, not a good sign for her that I didn't know who she was. So she's not an A-list one.
And what was your reaction when in the text message that she revealed that she was Misha Montana, which we know is like his girlfriend? Like, did it shock you at all?
Like, what do you mean shock? Like,
so like when, you know, when she,
I knew that she was a girl. I didn't know anything else about her.
Yeah, no, but when she revealed in the text message, when she was texting you under her real name, Michelle Gray, and then she goes, by the way, my stage name is Misha.
Hold on, Lee. She stated on Twitter that's not her real name.
Oh.
That's not even a real name. What is her real name? I don't know. No one knows.
I actually tried to look it up, by the way. I could not find it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the other podcasters tried doing. They tried finding out who this person is legally. No one knows.
Yeah, I did try and look her real name up.
Because I believe a lot of those adult stars are under pseudonyms, you know. They aren't going by their real names.
Yeah.
So, not a good sign for her that she's also going under fake names to handle business. Does that not look like it's a plan to scam people?
If that's not her real name, I mean, I know Misha Montana is not her real name, but if Michelle Gray's not,
then I wouldn't be able to tell. I wouldn't be able to. If there was an issue where I needed to do a lawsuit, I couldn't sue Michelle Gray. Michelle Gray don't exist.
Yeah,
I technically couldn't sue Misha Montana because Misha Montana is not her real name either, from my belief, from what I'm understanding. So, you know, it's just, no one knows her real name. Does she exist? I guess she exists. I've never seen, like, if you look on Pornhub.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll see 1,000 other people, and then maybe, just maybe, after thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of other actresses, right? You might find her. Like I said on the other podcast I was on today, I would compare her to a, not even a D-list celebrity. I would say she was Z-list, like very bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. Now, there was also another issue on that show, and it involves, I'm going to use his real name here, Terry Brunk, who, for you in the wrestling world, you know him as the homicidal, suicidal, genocidal, ECW original Sabu. In the midst of dealing with this stuff with Matt Riddle, Terry comes on your personal Facebook page to claim that he did not get paid. You go on Facebook and you show that not only did you not pay him, but you went, as big time wrestling, went above and beyond, and you sent a deposit back to Brett Lauderdale of Game Changer Wrestling for Sabu no showing an event
where he took $300 or more. I don't know how much it was, but you sent
That was news, and I believe y'all reported on that back at during WrestleMania weekend, right? Where he no-showed the, I think it was the Indy Wrestling Hall of Fame or whatever.
Yeah. Yep, it was the
Brett Lauder. At that time, I was doing a lot of business with Sabu, and as we've had other wrestlers we tried helping out, I would call charity cases. Sabu was our charity case we were working on at the time, trying to help him out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brett had been very verbal about how Sabu screwed him over on Twitter.
Yep.
And in turn, I contacted Brett privately on Twitter and personally sent him the deposit and said I didn't want credit for it, right? And I still don't want credit for it. But what I wanted to have it be known is not only have we taken care of Sabu, bringing him in for events and stuff, but we also, when he screwed up and owed a deposit to Brett Lauderdale, we took it out of our own bank accounts and paid that amount.
Yeah, which in
so you know, for all the people who say Dylan Hines is a piece of shit, Dylan Hines is trash, we don't like Dylan Hines, you can say whatever you want about me, but I'm going to say this. Lee, from what you've seen and how I've tried to help out, for example, Sabu, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to be some sort of a good guy, you know? First off, I'm not a liar. Everything that I posted about the Riddle situation that we talked about prior was truthful. I had screenshots that backed up every one of my claims, correct?
Yep.
And with Sabu, we took it out of our bank account and sent him $300, although the bag that he had at the table went missing, and I spoke to a couple of promoters. And they all said if the bag went missing, Sabu likely took it, which was a bag with money in it for meet and greets and stuff that day. Hmm. So after this, I've washed my hands with Sabu. And honestly, my stance with the wrestling world right now, I don't want to do any more charity cases. Especially if they have a drug addiction or whatever, you know. Best of luck to those people. But I can't, you know. My dealings with Matt Riddle, who is obviously someone that takes drugs. Marijuana is a drug, correct, Lee?
It is a form of medicine. I would say yes, because it is a form of medicine. Any kind of medicine is considered a drug at that point, technically. So, yes.
But also, is it not something people take recreationally as a drug?
Recreate, yes. 100%.
Thank you. Sabu, he takes drugs. We all know that. He has a history of it. At the table at the event, he kept falling asleep. That's how active his table was. There may have been 10 people that met him. Maybe not even that. But he was asleep 90% of the time at the meet and greet with his head on the table. And I wish I had a photo of that where I could post that, but I don't. But it was rather unfortunate. And
yeah.
Even though that money bag was stolen, we still sent him $300 because he said, I don't have anything to eat when I get home. I don't have this. I don't have that. I was doing this to make money, right?
Yeah.
Best of luck to him, but if Terry's listening to this, he's no longer my concern. And on the other hand, I also mentioned Robert Sikowski, which is Rob Van Dam. Rob, you both live in Las Vegas, Nevada, right? Sabu is your friend. You got into this business because of the original Sheik training, right? Rob's went on the record and said that, right, Lee?
Yes, I've had Rob on the show and talked about him with Sabu and the Sheik.
If Sabu needs the help he needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's burned us, we're not going to help him anymore. Maybe it's time for Rob to step in and help Sabu out. They're both living in the same area. Maybe he can give him a place to live at and stay at, you know. Or maybe Sabu at some point burnt Van Damme so bad that Van Damme won't even do anything with him. Possible?
Yeah, I mean, there's the Cauliflower Ear Club. You know, there's you can go to WWE.
Diamond Dallas Page. I mentioned this on the podcast earlier.
Yeah, DDP.
Diamond Dallas Page. I hope Sabu gets the help he needs, and if he gets cleaned up, I'd love to work with him again. But until then, I can't. When I'm at my wit's end with people, I just put them out of my life. I choose to turn them off and remove them from my life, my planet, you know, my world.
Yeah. Yeah.
He no longer exists in my world.
Understandable.
I hope he gets the help he needs. But everything we did for him, he begged to be on this event, continuously texting and everything, even though I told him no several times. Finally, I talked to a friend of mine, and we both agreed we'd let him come in. We'd buy the flight and the hotel. And Sabu said we would be reimbursed for that. We did a split deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you were talking about earlier, splits.
Yeah.
We were going to do a split deal because it's a last-minute addition. But that flight and hotel coming out of that split, he never covered. From the guy that was working the table, I asked him. He said he maybe brought in $200, you know? We sent him $300 still to help him out. And now at this point, I can say that I've washed my hands with Terry Brunk doing business as Sabu. And that I know it's cliche, but like the WWE says, I wish him nothing but the best in his future endeavors.
Well, you heard it there first, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan, I want to thank you for coming on to clarify with me, going literally text by text between you and Misha Montana, and just clarifying everything up that went on that weekend, because, you know, it did make a lot of news, and it is going absolutely crazy right now. Is there anything that you would like the fans to know, you know, upcoming shows for 2025?
Saturday, March the 8th. Yep, Saturday, March the 8th. World Clash Professional Big Time Wrestling returns home to Chillicothe, Ohio. And on the event, we have Jake Hager wrestling in the main event. He's going to be defending his Triple Crown of Wrestling Championship. He won that title this past Saturday. And Waverly, he'll be returning to defend his championship. We also have Mick Foley coming in. We got Ken Von Erich, Marty Jannetty, Abdul the Butcher, a whole host of other great talents attending for autographs and photo ops. And some of the talents will be wrestling on the card and stuff. Saturday, March the 8th, Chillicothe, Ohio, the OUC Shoemaker Center. Just like every other big time wrestling event, it's gonna be another. I think it'll be one of our biggest events yet. And we're working on other talents for that event as well. I recently locked in Rock and Roll Express. Heath Slater's been confirmed for the event. He'll be returning. I'm thinking and considering of having him versus Enzo in one of the matches on the card, because Enzo's been locked in and confirmed for the event. So it's going to be a good one. And if you're a wrestling fan, check us out on Facebook, World Class Professional Big Time Wrestling. I'm not really active on Twitter nor Instagram or any of the other social medias. I'm kind of getting a little bit on TikTok, but not really. Facebook's our main form of where we post that about our promotion and stuff. So check it out, World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling. And if you get a chance, if you live in the Ohio area or anywhere else, like we've had people travel from Germany and all over the world for our events. So Saturday, March the 8th, definitely going to be one for the record books. And planning on having another packed out building with a gigantic lineup of great meet and greets, as well as a huge wrestling card that night. Plus, we're doing Q&A with Mick Foley and Abdullah the Butcher. They're going to sit down for a Q&A, which I don't think the two of them together has ever done a Q&A together before. So if you're a wrestling fan, what better way? And tickets start at only $20. Lee, where can you get a better deal than that? You get a fan fest, a huge all-day fan fest from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You get a Q&A, and then that night you get wrestling matches. And tickets start at only $20. I don't think you could find a better deal than that.
Hey, that's a great time for whether you're a single male or you want to bring your family. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be personally looking that up to see how far away that is from me, because I don't think I want to miss Mick Foley and Abdullah the Butcher together in a Q&A.
And we're going to be doing a photo op with the two of them, which in the Ohio region, we talked about earlier, the promotion going on for nearly 50 years now. In the 90s, we had a huge blood rival between Abdullah the Butcher and Mick Foley. So,
oh, that's incredible.
That photo op alone, for those people living in that area who grew up on that, those Abdullah the Butcher and Mick Foley matches, that's definitely going to be a photo op that you don't want to miss out on, which I'm sure if you watch WCW even, you know, they did stuff there. And
yeah.
Two of the biggest hardcore icons of all time. Everybody calls Foley the hardcore icon, right?
Yep.
I would call Abdullah the godfather of hardcore because, you know, he was one of the originators. He's the last of that era.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, Terry Funk's passed away. Unfortunately, the original Sheik's passed away. You can't find anybody nowadays outside of Abdullah that was the originator.
Yeah, you can't. And that's going to be an incredible event, fans. Make sure you go check that out. Make sure you check out their social media. And fans, Dylan, I want to thank you for coming on and clarifying all of that with me today. Fans, remember, spoiler freeze, the way to be. We're out.